Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Mark Kittrell. It was presented in September of 2017. The title of the message, The Cup You Didn't Drink.
It's good to see you tonight, and good to be back teaching and just ministering. Thank you always for your prayer for our family, our ministry, your support for Pacific Rim Missions, and God's doing some wonderful things. Don't have the time to share that tonight, but visit our website, pacificrimmissions.org, and you'll see some wonderful things that God is doing. Several years ago, I was prepping for a medical test, and I was handed a preordained cocktail, and then I was instructed with those famous communion words, drink ye all of it. So I proceeded to do that. The color seemed rather innocuous, harmless. It was like a pale orange. So my mind was processing orange juice. Okay, I can do this. My first taste processed something else. It was disgusting. Oh man, with every mouthful, I did not want to swallow. But I knew I'd been instructed to, and I knew that I had to. I wanted a surrogate drinker, but the test was on me. And if I wanted the test to be a success, to reveal whatever it was supposed to or not supposed to reveal, then I had to do this. I had to drink this. I did not want to, but I got it down. You know, in the Gospels, we read, our focus is communion tonight, we actually read of a literal cup at the Last Supper, a communion cup in which Jesus instructed his disciples to drink. Drink ye all of it. Matthew 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Those instructions form the basis for what we're doing tonight, for what we're celebrating. Even Paul in the New Testament said, the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed, and then he quoted those same words basically about the bread and the cup. But tonight, as you drink this cup, if you're a believer, I want you for once to think about the cup that you don't drink. What? They give me a cup and it's got the juice and I take the cup and I know what that means. I remember the Lord's death. Yes, but what about the cup you don't drink? Pastor Mark, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the cup in which immediately after Jesus offered to his disciples and said, drink this cup, immediately after that, there was another cup that Jesus talked about that he was faced with drinking. The Bible is just as clear on this. It was a cup which Jesus would have to choose. It was a cup which he would have to drink alone. It was a cup that would have a bitter taste, and in fact, he would humanly cower from drinking this cup. Luke puts it this way. Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Do you know how intense that was? To have to take a drink of that cup versus the cup he had just offered to his disciples? Jesus did not feel like this when he drank the first cup. Listen to what Luke says about the second cup. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood that were falling down to the ground. We don't do that when we drink this cup. But Jesus had another cup, and it was so intense and so powerful. In fact, the only one that really captures the essence of it in a very short verse is actually the one who's not the synoptic gospel writer. Matthew and Mark and Luke give us everything that I just talked about, but John gives it in a very different way, and basically here's all John says. John chapter 18 and verse 11. Now the betrayal is at hand. Judas has come. This is the cup Jesus is talking about. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to suffer. He's going to the cross. And Peter is like, no, don't drink the cup. And he pulls the sword out of his sheath. And he tries to fight so Jesus doesn't drink the cup. And Jesus says in John 18, 11, Peter, put up your sword into your sheath. The cup that my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And tonight, the reason you drink this cup is because Jesus drank another cup that you don't have to. The cup I don't have to drink. In the Bible, drinking the cup of wrath and judgment and condemnation is a consistent metaphor. We see it in the Old Testament with Isaiah and Jeremiah and Job as they use this metaphor of God's wrath being poured into a cup and those who reject and oppose him having to drink it. In fact, Jeremiah says this, Jeremiah 25, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand, and I made all the nations drink unto whom God had sent me. Do you know what he's talking about? He made Jerusalem drink, and then he made Pharaoh drink, and then he made the Philistines drink, and then he made Syria and Assyria drink. Everyone, in whatever way they had rejected God, God was angry, and he poured his anger into the cup, and he said, you are going to drink. And in the same chapter, verse 28, he said, and tell them, if they say, I won't drink the cup of God's wrath, you tell them, I will make them drink it. New Testament's the same. In fact, all the way over in the book of Revelation, even as we think about the future and God's judgment and the time of tribulation and His program being put into motion in the future, listen to what John says in Revelation 14. And the third angel followed them in the series of judgments, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Old Testament, New Testament, there is a cup. And in that cup is the wrath of God. So all of those who reject or oppose God or His Son, at some point in time they have a cup to drink. And they will be made to drink it. It's like the instructions I was given on that day. Here, drink it. You don't have a choice. Get it down. And so tonight, as we celebrate communion, this would actually be a very good night to examine your personal relationship to God. If you're not saved, don't drink this cup, which represents communion with Christ. There's another cup for you, and it's the wrath of God, and you will drink it. But tonight, if you simply say, I don't want to drink that cup, I don't want the wrath of God poured out to drink that. What I read in Jeremiah and Revelation, I don't want any part of that. Then here, tonight, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and drink this cup. The cup of communion, the cup of fellowship, the cup of being right with God. And that's the cup that Jesus drank. He took what is said in Nahum. God is jealous. The Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserves His wrath for His enemies. New Testament's the same. Matthew 3:7, John the Baptist. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And so tonight there is wrath waiting for God's enemies. It's poured out into a cup, and they will drink of God's wrath. That's why in Psalm 2, the last verse says, you better kiss the Son, lest He be angry. And when His wrath is kindled just a little bit, you perish. So it's a consistent metaphor, the drinking of God's wrath. But the wonderful thing tonight for the believer is that there was a colossal achievement, and that is on the day that I struggled to get that down because I was facing this test, there was a Savior who was struggling to get down this drink from God called the wrath of God. In fact, it was a drink that you and I should be drinking. What do you mean, Pastor Mark? Here's what I mean. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For great is the day of his wrath. It is come. And who is able to stand? When we are born into the world, we're born into the world as sinners. And as we sin, we treasure up the wrath of God, the Bible says in Romans. And that wrath goes into this cup, and from that cup, all sinners who remain in opposition to God will drink. They will drink that cup. And that's exactly the cup we were all facing. Until one day, the Son of God came to earth and he said, I don't want to. Humanly, I cower from the thought. It is such a bitter taste, this thing called crucifixion, this thing called death. But Father, if it's possible, remove it from me. But if this is your will and I must do it, I will drink it. And the wrath of God in the cup of God that was for you was literally drunk dry by the Savior for you. Friends, tonight as we celebrate communion, just listen to these verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And he shall not come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. And when Jesus went to the cross, he took the cup of wrath out of the hand of God that was intended for you and for me. And Jesus took the cup and he drank it down. And for the believer, there's nothing left in the cup of God's wrath. It's just joy. It's just peace now. It's just this beautiful, right relationship with God that actually allows us to come together tonight and say, I'll drink that cup. Thank you, Jesus. That one I can do. And so this cup of communion that we're drinking tonight, this ordinance that, along with baptism, is part of our local church life and experience, what does it mean? Well, here, let's talk about what's in Jesus' cup that He drank, and let's talk about what's in our cup that we drink tonight. Jesus' cup, forsaken. Matthew 27:46. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our cup tonight, fellowship. John 1:3, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no more wrath. There's no judgment, no condemnation. My conscience is clear. My heart is clean. My hands are pure. God, thank you. Christ's cup, bitter taste, forsaken by God. Our cup, fellowship with the Father and the Son. Christ's cup, condemnation. Matthew 14:64. And they condemned Him to be guilty of death. Our cup, communion. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Is this the cup of blessing? Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Christ's cup, a bitter taste of God's judgment and condemnation. Our cup, a sweet fellowship of communion with Christ. Christ's cup, sorrow. Matthew 26:38. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. But our cup, salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a bitter taste to be sorrowful unto death. It is a wonderful taste to have salvation and to not live with the fear of God's wrath. Christ's cup, death. Hebrews 2:9, by the grace of God, He tasted death for every man. Our cup, life. John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. It is a bitter taste to think of death. It is a wonderful taste to think of life. Christ's cup, to be cursed. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Our cup, to be blessed. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Is this not the cup of blessing which we drink? So you can see the difference. The cup of Christ was a bitter taste of forsakenness and condemnation and death and sorrow and curse. And we could add a whole lot other things into that cup. Our cup tonight that we drink, it's fellowship and communion and life and salvation and blessing. And tonight, when you take this cup and drink it, remember the cup you didn't drink. Because this cup tonight unites us with God and with each other when Jesus was separated from His Father. And this cup tonight unites past and present and future all in one. The death of Christ, which is a past event, the proclamation of the gospel, we proclaim the Lord's death and His future coming until He comes. Past, present, future, thank God, all in one. Here tonight. And then it unites our personal experience that we've had of dying to ourselves. John 12, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that hates his life here will save his life eternally. But he that loves his life here will lose it. And tonight, if you know Christ, you know that day that you died to yourself and you gave your heart to Jesus. So tonight, simply, as you drink this cup, take a moment to think about the cup that you don't have to drink. Because Jesus did. Let's pray. Lord, as we enter into time of communion, I ask that you would search the hearts of all those present. And if there's anyone that still is under the threat of having to drink the wrath of God poured out, that you would help them to examine their relationship to Jesus Christ tonight. And God, right now, even in their seat, this very moment, may they just cry out with the heart's cry and say, Jesus, I don't want to drink that cup of God's wrath. Thank you for drinking it for me tonight. I want to be saved. And I pray for your children who will partake. Help them just to be deeply grateful for the cup that they didn't have to drink. Thank you for this cup tonight, Lord. And Jesus, thank you for drinking the other cup for us.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, The Cup You Didn't Drink, from Evangelist Mark Kittrell. It was originally presented in September of 2017 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.